Hey, the recording's done, so I don't say anything to
Hey guys.
Okay, so let's own up. Let's do it. Since it is, after all, on the calendar, so we gotta do it. Okay, let me just get this window to the right proportion. So see everyone. And okay. I must have, whatever, it doesn't matter. Okay, ona pachos mishtas. So our question, all right, our big vort was until now that anything less than a shtus is fine, right? Shtus is ona, and you have to return the extra money. And if it's more than a shtus, if it's more than a six, then it's actually mevatel the mekach. So that we'll deal with in a different year. But we dealt with the question of ona. What is the nature of ona? Now our question is, pachos mishtas, is that also ona, right? What is that? Where does that fall? Okay, so the Gemara in Bava Metzia says, "Ibayelu pachos mishtos l'rabbanan le'alter havi mechila o bechnei she'ira le'tager o le'krova." So the Gemara wants to know the following question: less than a shtos, according to the Rabbanan, is that automatically mechila? Is the guy waiving his right to it instantly, or do you have to wait until he had enough time to talk to a friend, to a merchant, to an expert, for him to realize that he overpaid, right? In this case, less than a sixth, in order to know that he is actually being mochel on something. The imtimsi lomar bechteshira letagar lekrovo ma'ika ben shtos lepachos mishtos. And if it's only right until he has time to show it to a tagar or to his karov, in which case, what's the difference between a shtos and pachos mishtos? So Amar Rava, halacha, pachos mishtos nikne. If it's less than a shtos, the sale goes through. Yoser shtos bitol mekach, shtos kano. If it's actually a six, then you're kona and you have to return the extra. Okay, and both of these, sorry, there's both of these are for enough time to show it to your friend or to an expert, okay, to know that you overpaid, okay. Right, Tanya Kvasit Rava, Ona Pachus Mishos Nikne Mekach, Yesal Shos Batal Mekach, Just Kano Machs Yona. Devir Binasan, Hudanas Yomer, Yad Mocher Al Hal Yona, the seller, though he's in a better position, wrote to him about Tinli Mechi, O Tinli Masha anytime. Okay, Vzebzeb, Chdeshira, the Tiger, or the Crow. Right, and the merchant always has a certain advantage. Okay, in this discussion here, about pachus mishtas, right? What the Bailu gives a very clear assumption about the nature of the din, right? What is that? The right at the beginning, right? The Bailu right off the bat. Pachus mishtas rabbanan la'alter havi mechila o bechdei shira le'tagar le'krov. What is the nature? Why? What's the reason why? Oh no, pachus mishtas, you don't have to pay back.
Because of Mechila?
Right, it says because of mechila. Right, the question is when does that mechila happen? How quickly does that occur? But ultimately, really, pachos mishtos is still ona. You still overcharged him, right? But it happens to be that the amounts are not significant enough for him to make a stink about it, let's say, and therefore he's going to be mochel. The question only becomes, right? Is he going to be mochel right away? Can we assume that there's mechila right away? Or do we have to wait for him to actually check and think about it? Okay. This little bit reminds me of the sugya of Yish L'midas. I do say, oh, la'altar have a Yish, or no, we have to wait for him to actually know. Right, so here we have to wait long enough for him to actually have gone and checked with someone. Okay? Now, so far, so good, right? Okay, great. It's mechila. And really, ona applies even pachos mishtas. Okay, let's say you thought you want to say that no, ona doesn't fundamentally apply pachas mishtos. Right, can you defend that in this line of the Gemara?
You would have to say that people aren't mochel.
Okay, if you could say that people aren't mochel, and although the assumption in this Gemara though is that the reason why you don't have to return is because they are, right? Now, I'd say a secondary question would be: is that usher then? Is it usher to do ona pachos mishdas according to this Gemara? Yeah, right. As it sounds like pachos mishdas is usher. However, even though it's usher, you don't have to pay back because there's mechila. Sorry, I'm just very distracted by all these mosquitoes buzzing around. I'm going to arbitrarily keep trying to kill them. Give up in a second. Okay, fine. So far, so good. We're going to go back to that. So the Rush brings up the following Chakir. I think it's a super Gishmah. Here, Yirad b'chol davar, the b'chol shar dvarim, afilu pachus mishos, asur la nos es chaveiro, im yish bo shava pruta, kivan sheyadua, she'in mecho shava kol kach. If you know that your object is not worth as much as you're selling it for, right? Rachman amar al tonu, b'chol davar sheyish bo shovi mamon, is he rat or shlo yanes chaveiro, right? You can't steal pachos mishav, right? You can't steal, even if you don't have to pay back. So you can't take ona, even if it's less than shtas. Ella, so why don't you have to return by pachos mishdas? Amru chachamim, ad shtus hevi mechila, lefi shekach derech mekach umemkar. Okay, why? Lefi shehalokech v'amocher enum yecholim lechavein demei hamekach machbitzim. There's a certain inherent lack of agreement between the buyer and the seller, right? They're never going to get the price exactly right. They're never going to exactly agree. Okay? And because they're not exactly going to agree, what's going to happen? Right? They're mochel on the difference. Right? Even if he goes to court, let's say, and says, oh, I got overcharged, the first evaluator, right, might say, no, not really. I don't think you were, right? Every evaluator is going to judge it differently. He's going to see it as a different value. And therefore, there's no real way for us to come and say, oh, definitely here, I know I can get my money back because I was definitely overcharged. Once it's, right, Zayomar yesh bo'ona, Zayomar in bo'ona. One evaluator is going to say, What are they called? Insurance adjusters? Isn't there a guy who comes and like says how much your object is worth for the insurance companies?
Insurance and evaluators.
Okay, they're insurance evaluators. And then the adjuster is the guy who tries to get them to like bump up or change it.
They're similar positions.
Or they're the same thing. All right. Right. So Hilkach the Kabbalah loves Shtika, the In Ma'arer Mocha. Okay. So basically, what happens is, the seller, all right, the person who's being overcharged under a certain threshold is going to be mevater because it's impossible for everyone to agree, right? No one agrees on the exact price. But within a certain range, there's just no way for you to really enforce the fact that you got overcharged to do anything about it. Mimeli your mochel. However, if the person who's doing the ona knows that he's overcharging you, it would be totally awesome, right? Fine. Aval im hamocher baki. What's the nafkamina? Right. We just said that it's impossible to be mitzam. So the answer is yeah. But if the mocher is baki be'erech mechavero, v'alokeach ein baki kolkach. Oh, him alokeach tagar ubaki be'erech mekto yoser min hamocher al yanu zeze ela emlo yishayifarish. Right. So then you can't overcharge unless you actually explicitly get the consent of the other person, you're going to charge them a little more, right? What's the other nafkamina? Chutz mimatbeya, kozman shelo higia lechteona, muter lechatchila lehotzia biyafe. And a coin whose face value, right, is more than the metal value by a small amount, shegam achar yikablanu miyado biyafe ve'inze bo'efsid kla. And when you give a coin that's slightly deprecated, but it's just face value is still, X, you can use it as if it's really worth X, with as long as it's, a very small percentage, because ultimately, right, he could still use it for the same value. right? You have like a, I don't know, a pound, you know, or a piece of eight or whatever, and you give it over, so it's still currency of that value, right? So says the Rush, right? If Ona is totally aser, always, even if it's a tiny amount, right? The shear of shtus is just the facts of the matter is, the facts of living in, you know, in a normal economy is that there's no exact value to these objects. So you have to do is you have to kind of come to some sort of agreement, right? Within a certain range, there's no way to really enforce the fact that he's overcharging, right? You can't really prove it, number one. And number two, it's you can't really enforce it. So therefore, you're mocha, right? But if you know that you're overcharging, it's totally aser, even if it's a tiny amount. Now this is his continuation. He offers another svara. What else can you say? You know, before we get to a second option, what other idea could you offer to explain the sixth? It's very similar to the Rosh's first point, but conceptually, it's totally different. Yeah.
Can you just say fundamentally there is no exact value? There's only like value bands. So from, I guess six is somewhat arbitrary, but you assume everything kind of has within a six, it's still considered its value within its value band.
Yes. So first of all, it happens to be, I checked into this a little bit, 15, 17% is the range in which you're like, okay, it's like on sale a little bit, but I'm not necessarily gonna go from the seller that I'm used to or that I like to somebody new. Like once it's like a 20% discount, right? You buy from the other guy. Like on Amazon. At least I noticed this myself. When I'm on Amazon and I see an item and then there's like, oh, there's another, like I know that if I spend another few minutes shopping around, I can knock it down like 5%. Unless it's a very expensive item. You know, like I probably won't. I was like, okay, this one had good reviews and it's a decent price. I'm not going to go like, you know, drive myself crazy trying to find the one that's slightly cheaper, right? Once it's like, oh, 20% difference. So then I'll go through, like, I'll try to like sort through like the 20 knockoff brands. I finally find the one that's like the real thing that's 20% cheaper, right? I find that actually true. I also noticed that a lot online, like in terms of price comparison stores, there's like any of the real places, you know, their items are all like within that certain range. And then you have like actual sales. But otherwise, that's like kind of the range that people kind of see as the same unit. So I think that like happens to be B'Metzius very much, very much, very true. Anyway, I think it actually works out relatively well. And that's the idea that there's like a range of value, right? If you go to one of these price comparison websites, not every site is selling the same item for the exact same price, but they're within a pretty narrow band of value. And that value is not just inam yecholim lechayvin deme hamekach bitzimtzum. It's that the actual identity of its value is a range, right? O shema kivan de derech mekach u'membukar bekach yulefamim halokeach chafet v'mekach zeh. He says well, even a step further. He says, even if we did have the exact value, although I think this question of is there an exact value itself is a very good point. I think that's the key. Kisvara. The Rosh goes a step further. He says, even if you did have this exact value, the market value and the object value are different. Because the market value is a range, right? And I think that's also important, which we were talking about last time in Shir, was how do we define value? Is it the market value or is it the object value? So the Rosh is saying, well, the object value might be X, right? Let's say we could really say object value is X. I don't know what it is. You know, there's like a standard markup and there's a certain production cost, right? But market value, right, has a range because sometimes the seller has too much inventory. Sometimes, you know, the buyer really needs it. Sometimes the buyers really don't need it and there's a glut on the market, right? So you need to sell it cheaper. All those things, right? Or even this particular seller happens to have too many and this particular buyer happens to really want it right now. So there's a range within market behavior, right? It's just part of Mekach Umemkar. That's business. That's commerce, right? That's a free market. It's this idea that there's a free market and the market determines its value, even though, right, the object value is slightly different, right? So this first opinion is like, oh, well, they're not going to agree on the actual object value. So even though this is not accurate to the object value and you can't, and it's really usher to sell it for more than the object value. Nonetheless, it's just impossible to enforce that be right without this buffer. The second option is that no, the whole point of commerce is that you have a market value. And even though the object value, right, is different, there's still a market value. That, right, again, that's all kind of tied into a certain range. Not just pointing out that even the object value, right, should be a range. And my question, now, a question that comes on top of this is, do we evaluate the sixth of the rush based on like a point object value? And if so, how do we get to that object value? Is it the average value or the average of what most people would say this object is worth? And then we treat that as a point and then we add a sixth to that? Or do we say like the actual object value is a slight range and then we're adding a sixth onto that range? That's an important point. Okay. So, onah pachas mishdas. Option number one is that there is onah, but it's eifshar letzamtzem. Right? There's no way to like enforce it. And the koneh is just mochel b'dieved. And you don't really know, right, that there's whether or not there's onah here because it's just hard to evaluate. But the nafka mina is if you do know, right, and you're a bucky, then it would be usher to do it. Okay? Other option is that there's no onah, because that's derech mekach u'memkar. That's how commerce works. And then even a bucky, even someone who knows that this object is actually not quite worth what he's selling it for, is allowed to sell it for this because the market range is, our price is actually a range. Okay. By the way, okay, so sorry, going back, I just think this is very interesting, right? Isn't that Soser? Isn't the second idea of the rush Soser the Gemara? How can we explain the Gemara?
Mvava comes later. Is he rejecting the question?
Yefeh, exactly. Right, I would argue, right, you're right that the Hava Mina is that it's Def Pachos Mishdas is a question of Mechila. And that's totally what the Rush's first answer is, right? It's Mechila. Really, you weren't allowed to do it. You did it. You shouldn't have done it. There's no way to enforce it. Memela, you have Mechila. Rava says, Pachos Mishdas Nikne Mekach. Right? Yosef Mishdas is Bitol Mekach. Right? This is a valid sale. This is an invalid sale. And Shtus is ona, right? You could argue that, yeah, the pachos mishdos is nickname mekach because it's just a sale. And that's exactly what the Rosh says, right? It's bechlal dmei mekach ve'inkan shem ona klal, right? Because that's just a sale. So I think that's mamash how you could read the Gemara and say, well, the first, the Ibailahu assumes that ona exists, pachos mishdos, just as mechila. And then Rava comes along and says, no, right? Pachas Mishdas is just a regular set. Okay. Rashi says something that's similar to the Rosh, but a little bit different. Rashi says, Choser, Inze Kishar Onos, the Kaimalan Bazav, Pachas Mishdas, Machil Inish, the Hasam in Ko Adam Yachol Etzam Tim Hadamim. What's the difference between him and the Rosh? It's very, very, very nuanced. It's very slight. Yeah, hi.
I'm not sure of this, but is it in Adam Yacholotansin, but an expert, like the insurance adjuster person? Where,
oh, interesting. I thought, I would say, I was going to take the Dafka as, like, no one could. It's not possible.
Oh, okay.
Right? And then actually, I really should have also underlined another point, which is, Adaita Dahachi lo Ave. The Rashi's case here is that he's talking about where you make a mistake in the actual measurements, right? And he says, normally, less than a shtos, you're mochel, because it's impossible to be mitzamtzing, right? I mean, the Rosh said, oh, it's hard to be mitzamtzing, right? Halokeach and the mocher inam yacholim lichavein. Rosh here says, in kol adam yach, nobody could, right? The Rosh says, oh, people, normally the buyer and the seller can't, but if you're really a bucky, then you should, right? Then he also says, why are you mochel? Right? Even if you came, there'd be no way to enforce it. Says Rashi, it's not that b'dieved your mochel, right? Gufa, that's part of the mekachumemkar, right? Ain kol adam yachol etzamtem hadamim. You know that going into a sale, right? And therefore, adait to dahachi avdet. Toa b'mido meshkal. Adaita dahachi lo avid, but achos mishtos adaita dahachi ken avid, right? It says Rashi. I mean, the Rosh was saying b'dieved achos mishtos. There's just no way to enforce it. The guy's gonna be mochel because there's just no way to like really prove that it was actually or not. It says Rashi, no. Anytime you get into a business deal, you know going in, right, that there's gonna be some imprecision in the act, in the evaluation. And therefore, that's part of going into business, right? That's part of making a sale or making a purchase, is that you know that there's going to be an aim kol adam yachol etzam tzem adam. Therefore, right, that's just sort of part of the conditions of a normal sale, right, is that there's going to be some imperfection in the evaluation. Right? So it's, I think if you, like for Rashi, let's say, what would the nafka mina be for Rashi as opposed to the Rosh? So I'd say for Rashi, it could be even a baki, it might not be a problem. Although it could be, yes, hard to know exactly. But I would say for Rashi, the cases where you would have an issue is something, let's say, by currency, right? Where there you can argue, well, if I can tell you that it's right. It's not. It's possible to evaluate. It's possible to know. It's possible that he wasn't. That he didn't come into this under that assumption, right? Something like that. Okay, right. So say there's no ona. There is ona, but b'dieved your mochel because it's unenforceable. Or I could say there's no ona because that tachi derech nakachu memkar. Or I could say what Rashi's saying, which is ef shel etzamtzem. Right, and it's just lechatchila your mochel because there's just no way to, you know, that's part of business. Not because it's part of business and that's part of the value. Part of business is accepting the fact that you're gonna have this lack of precision. Okay, the Ramban says, right, something totally in the side of there is ona. The man says, "Anicho shevotzvar, vade haman es chaver ludas over belaf, bein b'metaltalin, bein b'karkos, shebehed di barakasav al tonu ishet achid b'mispar hashanim achar yovel, whom as here she yikinu v'yimkaru lefi hashanim v'lo yonu ishet achid, aval rabotenu chidshu ba'onaa tashlumim b'shtut hamekach u'bitul mekach b'yoter mishtut." Right? He says, "Chacham yevor mechadish that there's a chiyuv." I'm not sure if he means based on drashos or it's like almost even like a chiyuv d'rabbanan. I'm not so clear about that. Right? It's totally asur. So the Ramban, how's the Ramban different than the Rash? Instead of telling. Thank you. think I'm not the only one. I'm not getting, I got that as like underwater bubble noise.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Is it better now?
Yes. By the way, I know this is totally random, but you know how like you can like put like different backgrounds on? You can like have the background fade out, or you could have like balloons, you can have all sorts of fun stuff. So they should also do that for like voice effects. And instead of like being muted, it could make just like bubble noises or like under, you know, like fish noises or whatever. Anyway, that would just be really cool.
Would that distract you, or would, you know, keep you focused?
I don't know. I feel like it would just give us like a feeling of like learning Torah, you know, in the natural environment. I think that'd be like kind of beautiful.
Should pick it up with Zoom, Anna. Give it right in. Yeah, but yeah, I was going to say the Ramban, he seems to be saying that there is some kind of onah less than a shut. It's just not bitul, the mekach. Over the shut would be bitul. Less than a shut, you have to just pay him back the difference. So he says yesh onah, which is not
right. Paul Mishos is totally onah. And why do we need to pay back?
And why do you?
Why don't you need to pay back if it's less than a six?
Because people don't care. It's not going to bother them.
Right. Or I would even like moderate. Yeah, Chaya?
No, sorry. I finish, and then I have a follow-up question.
Oh, okay, sure. I would say, like, I would modify it and say, it's not so much only that they don't necessarily that they don't care, but in terms of their, like, okay, I'm buying something. I'm being overcharged a little bit, right? How much would you need to be overcharged for you to take the item that you bought on Amazon, put it back in the box, and then send it back and return it, right? Because you saw that it's cheaper on Walmart. How much? Think about it. I was like, close your eyes and think about it. You bought like, I don't know, you bought a laptop, right? On Amazon. And then, you know, and then you saw that like, oh, it's cheaper on Walmart. I guess, you know, same item. Would you take that laptop that just got to your house? Yeah, you know, put it back and you know, do like, oh, I want to return it. Click on the make print me a return label, you know, go get a box, tape it to a box, pop it off into like a USB UPS, you know, drop off location. Like what percentage?
I think for me it's more of an absolute value thing.
Okay, right? you'd put a dollar sign on it.
You can get me a chocolate bar that's like, you know, 200% discounted, but like why would I bother?
Right. So there definitely is an amount, right? I think by the way, that gets us into the question of, you know, nala putos.
Yeah.
Right. Totally. But I think let's say we're dealing with like real amounts, right? Let's say you bought something. Let's say you bought a fridge.
Right. Okay. So what I'm saying is that for me, with like even large numbers like that, I don't know if this is universal, but there's an opportunity cost. Right. So even if I'm like, oh, it's only 10% of a fridge, but like I could use that to buy like five dinners or,
right.
You know.
But you would like, let's say, I don't know, let's say it's a, I don't know, whatever. It's an expensive, fridges are expensive. Right. So it's 5%. It's 5% of a fridge. How much is a fridge? Fridges are expensive. $1,500 per fridge. $2,000 for a fridge. Let's say it's $2,000 for a fridge. Let's say it's 10%. So, no, let's say it's 5%. So that's $100, right? $100 is $100. That's a lot of money, right? On the other hand, would you return the fridge for $100 if it was 5% of the price?
Well, I think fridges specifically have real tircha involved. Like a laptop, I don't mind sticking it in a box and driving to the UPS office 5 minutes away from me.
So I think for me, at least, if it was like a 10% discount, I wouldn't return it. I'd be like, look, I already bought it. You're right. I could find it for cheaper, but I already bought it. You know, that was like a measure of commitment from my hand. I think if I felt like they were actually trying to cheat me, that'd be a little different. But, you know, if it was just like, oh, it turns out there's somewhere else where it's significantly cheaper. So I wouldn't go back and like complain and like you know, do like the whole return thing. That would be Amazon makes it really easy. But let's say I had to go back to like a brick and mortar store, you know? No, only hypothetically. It's a hypothetical. It's like lambda. It's only hypothetical, right? I don't know. I feel like unless it was like really like 15%, 20%, you know, of the price, I see myself very unlikely to do that, right? But that's not because EF Shalatam thing, right? What the Ramban is saying over here is something very different than the Rosh. Although fundamentally there's a similarity. The Rosh is saying there is ona less than a shtos, but it's just, there's no way to prove it. There's no way to measure it. It's the guy who's doing it might not even know that he's doing it, right? The Ramban is saying, no, it's regular ona. It's totally ona gemura. And you could definitely prove it. The only issue is that people generally aren't going to bother, right? There's the opportunity cost or the hassle cost of like, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to go to the store and then I'm going to, you know, that takes hours. You have to wait on lines. Other people are coughing in line. There are people coughing in the line that you're standing in, right? So you're not going to go and return it if it's less than a shtus, says the Ramban. But ultimately, you totally, the guy was over on Ona. You got Jip. The guy was totally over on the Isser Lav. Just happens to be that people are mocha. Okay? Now, what would be an important nafkamina to this?
I'm not sure where you're going with this, but what I want to know is if the Ramban thinks that you can press charges if you want to. Well, not charges, because civil court.
Correct.
Well, yeah. And then that was what I was going to ask before, is that my usual question about civil and criminal law, about like from like a, you know, Chuban Yom Kippur perspective, if like the halacha kind of neglects this particular case, but are you if it's still an agnura, then are you still at fault from a religious perspective? That was what I was going to ask before. But then the press charges, I think it's like sort of an addendum to that.
Yeah. So I think, right. So that's like, kind of, I guess I'd say there are three, right? There's three kind of options that you could have, which is you have like, you didn't do anything wrong, which is the rush over here. Rush number two, you didn't do anything wrong whatsoever. Then, Rashi and Kiddushin is a little bit harder to know because on the one hand, it's kind of, it's just part of doing business, right? So you have mechila lechatchila. On the other hand, it still kind of is onah. It's just kind of like, it's the price of doing business. I feel like for Rashi, it also doesn't sound like you did anything wrong, right? If it was measurable, if you could prove it, if you knew that it was happening, you shouldn't do it. But like, I would say, like, for the rush, you could lechatchila be like, ah, I'm going to hop in that extra percentage, right? For Rashi, I think you have no responsibility as the seller to try to avoid it. But if you know that you're doing it, you shouldn't do it. And you should do tshuva on Yom Kippur. For the rush, I'll leave out Yom Kippur, right? But you should be trying to avoid it if you knew about it. You don't have to start doing the math. Right? You don't have to start being like, oh, but maybe according to Rashi and Kiddushin, it's not mutter l'chatchila, but you don't have to look for it. According to the Rush, number one, it's usser. And if you know that you're doing it, it's really usser. And you should be trying to avoid it l'chatchila. And if you did do it, then you need to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. You might even... You really should give back the money, according to the Rosh number one. According to Rashi, it doesn't sound like you ever have to give back the money. Right? According to the Rosh number one, you'd have to give back the money, lechatchila, in order to like feel good on Yom Kippur, but no one could take it away from you on Beis Din. According to the Ramban, the pashtus is there should be cases where if the guy's not mochel, if he wants to press, you know, sue you in civil court, he really should be able to. Yeah, so I think that's exactly the nafkamina, is that according to the Ramban, you really could sue in civil court, right? Now, again, we'll have to ask, well, then, shouldn't it depend on the specific case, right? And the answer could be in a chanan, right? Okay. Yeah, Rachel.
Oh, I was just going to say for Ramban, I thought what he was going at was that you're not, it's never going to have any... weight in civil court, but in terms of like Chuvan Yom Kippur, then that's what you should be worried about. Because he like akins it to Karkaot, and Karkaot, I mean, I think it wouldn't hold up in court civilly, but he's saying that it would still exist in the Chuva level. That's why I was understanding it.
Okay, so that's a good point. I would just suggest that maybe, according to the Ramban, it's not necessarily so obvious that by karkaot we couldn't also challenge that, right? Because he says, oh, karka also is kazona behem afilu biyosar mishtos mechila, right? When you buy karka, anytime you buy a house, let's say in Israel, if you buy anything now in real estate, you're paying like through the nose. You're paying like way more than you should be, right? But el maisa, people are mochel because they'd rather have the house than, right, than cancel it because they're paying triple the value. Because people like real estate. Thing. And it's because it's real. Or it's because it's an estate. It makes you feel like royal and stuff. Good kasha, right? But either way, the Ramban saying, okay, it's a question of mechila though, right? So even a totally regular ona, in derech bnei adam levatam imkarim bnei ona moetus kazu. The fact that it's in derech bnei adam doesn't necessarily preclude the fact that someone could, right? There are people who would say, look, I could get, right, if I'm going to be paying the extra money, that's, you know, that's my money. Why should I give up that money for no reason just because it's only 5%? If that's $50, that's $50. I can buy myself, I don't know, you know, Bluetooth earphones, a steak, a nice steak.
And then, I guess that the word mechila, could the seller or buyer, whoever it is, be mocha when it's over shtus, or this only, when it only works with karkaot and less than a shtus?
Mechila, if it's more than a shtus, in theory, he should be able to be mocha, right? But that would he have to do that explicitly. That's actually the discussion we saw for a second in the Gemara there hinted at, which is if the guy had enough time to show it to his neighbors and to show it to a tagar, to another merchant, to check and to realize that he got overpaid and he doesn't come to claim it, right? If within your 30 days you don't try to return it, then you can't return it anymore. Because you had enough time to realize and to be mochel. That's the assumption. Yeah. Okay. Right. So the chinuch, right, has like a different twist on it. It seems like it's not quite that. That's derech mekach umemkar, and that's actually totally just the range of the value, right? It sounds like it is more than the value, right? And therefore, in terms of tzedek, in terms of pure justice, right, and righteousness, you should really be selling according to the actual value. On the other hand, right, we want a free market, right, because we want supply and demand. So therefore, we kind of balance those two and therefore say, lichatchila, you're allowed to do it, right? Even though, right, from like a strict moral perspective, there definitely would have been a tzad to say that you should have to sell only at its exact value, right? But, and there is an exact value which you're charging more than, but you're allowed to, right? Because the idea of a free market is also a good, a social good, right? So it's very interesting that the Rush's second answer said that there is no overcharging less than a shtus. It just doesn't exist because the value or the market value is a range. The Sefer HaChinuch is saying, oh no, you are overcharging a little bit. And from a pure justice perspective, there definitely could be room to say that morally you should have to charge only exactly what it's worth. But there's another value, right? A social value or economic value, which is also at the end. Communal social value of having a free market, which leads to, right, literally to supply. And therefore, you're allowed lichatchila to overcharge a little bit in order to make a profit. Right? So it's sort of like an acknowledgement that capitalism kind of comes with the possibility for overcharging, right? But we embrace that within a certain reasonable range, right? In the knowledge that it allows for many, you know, many economic goods, which in the end help society flourish, right? So that's a really cool Sefer HaChinuch. But also the Nafkamina, again, is that according to the Rush number two, even a Bucky who knows that he's overcharging isn't overcharging because the price is actually arranged. The Chinuch is saying that you are overcharging, right? But you're allowed to. While Rashi and Kiddushin would still say there's no Onah, but only because E'efshel etzamtim, right? But if you were to find a case where E'efshel etzamtim, then Onah should apply. Right? Yeah. Okay. Do we have time for? Yeah, we'll do quickly. So one nafkamina of this. Someone who's not mochel, right? Let's say you have someone who just is not mochel. He says, no, I'm not mochel. Okay? Who's not mochel? So one option is a katan. Katan's lav bar mechilahu. Okay? He's able to be kone. He's not able to give away his own money. Okay? So both can ask a katan. Im yodea betiv maso matan o eno yodea. If he says katan chacham v'navon shu yodea v'hu ben sheva. Yish acher shafilu ben shalosh yisra eno yodea betiv maso matan. Okay? And Rambam says, in terms of mechira, in terms of financial law, the level of das and business acumen that a katan possesses affects his abilities to make a kinyan. Katan hayodeya betiv masa umatan, so a katan who knows, right, how business works, she'elo apotropos, she'nasa v'nasa b'metaltulim v'ta'a, dino kidin agado, tachos mishtos mechila, shtos chod machzir v'ona, yeso shtos bato mekach moshe b'yanu. So a katan who we consider to be a capable age, person, legabe dini mamunis, so that he could be kone and he could buy and sell things, has the same din as a gadol when it comes to ona. Okay, and pachos mishtos would be mechila. Vani omer she in mekach hakatan v'mem karo v'metaltelen kayamin ela b'mishemashach ohimshich aval imnason mos ela mekach v'chazir bo inu mekabel mishapara v'chirim shechazir bo mekabel mishapara, and he doesn't get a mishapara if he backs out because like he's a katan still. Okay, says the Ravid, ani omer hakatan in lo mechila, kedamrinan yas milav b'nei mechila nin. So the Ravid says, no. If a katan gets cheated even less than onah, then ein lo mechila. Because katan ein lo mechila, that's a rule. Right? Yisomer malav b'nei mechila ninu, because they're a katan, they don't have the das to be mevater on their money. Right, they could do a kinyan, but they can't waive the right to their money. That's a rule in general about katan. Says the Ravid, well, if we're applying that too, tachos mishtos mechila, but a katan is lav bar mechila. So if you take ona from a katan, even tachos mishtos is going to have to go back because it actually is mechila. But a katan isn't actually able to be mochel. So you'd have to pay back. Right, who's this matin for? What the Ravid is saying.
The Ramban, who says it's possible to still civilly act in court with less than a shtus or karka.
Right. Right. The Ramban, who says that it's really dependent on the fact that you're mochel. Okay, says the Ravid, well, katan isn't able to be mochel, and therefore, clearly, for a katan, tachos mishtos, onah, should go back, and you'd have to pay it back. Now, our problem here, though, is that the Rambam seems to say that tachos mishtos is actually mechila, right? But he says that katan yodeh betiv maaso matan is going to be, it does not have to return the onah. Even though he agrees to this Ravid's din about katan, right? So we're in a bit of an interesting question, which is, right, the Ravid says, he says, no mechila, and therefore, because katan lav bar mechila, right? The Rambam says that pachas mishtas for a katan is still mechila, right? But yet, the Rambam says, the Rambam we hold, right, what are we going to say? So either we can say the Rambam thinks that there's no onah pachas mishtas, right? Or we could say that there's mechila, even though there's a katan. Okay. So what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, when the Rambam explains Pachos Mishdos, he says, because Derech HaKol Limchoba. That leads us to the problem, right? Because we just said, for a Katan, that a Katan is still going to be, right, going to be Pater on Pachos Mishdos, right? The reason why Pachos Mishdos is because Pachos Meona is Mechila, but yet a Katan can't be Mochel. Right? I mean, the Rambam could have said there's no such thing as Ona Pachos Mishdos. Right? That's not what he says. The Rambam says Pachos Mishdos, Derech HaKol Limchoba. And then why is a Katan gonna be mechila? If a katan can't be mochel, yeah.
Because if we were saying the reason why a katan can't be mochel is because it doesn't have das for it, but even the people with das would be mochel. So,
okay, interesting. But at the end of the day, if he has to actually be mochel, so let's say the case of like yasmi labane mechila is a case where like normally people would be mochel, but they're Yisomim, so they're Ketanim, so they legally it can't be Mochel, right? Because they don't have Das, Mochel. You're right. You're in the right direction, but there's a little more. Yeah, Chaya?
Maybe, and I haven't been following perfectly, and I'm worried that this is too similar, just a different position that we discussed, but I'm wondering if maybe it's not about the individual person implicitly being mochel. It's about the fact that most people would be mochel. This is kind of similar to what Rachel was saying, makes that amount considered like a negligible amount. So it's not about you neglecting it. It's about it is now negligible. I know there's an analogy. Like, I feel like this is not a perfect analogy, but I'm thinking of like the fact that like if you regularly like snack on raw onions, you still say shahakal on them because like it doesn't matter. Like, obviously, brachos and mamonos are different, but, like, if most people have a certain attitude, then that attitude becomes a property of the object of the attitude instead of being, dependent on the person with the attitude.
Yeah, so I think, right, what you're saying is there's something called, there's mechila, and you could have where this person individually is being mochel, right? And then you could say, well, on a global scale, right, this is sort of like an automatic reality. We have the idea of batla daita itzo kol adam, which is what we're referencing by brachos. Right? You personally may, right, we don't need you personally to do this, or we do, but you're doing it even though you didn't realize you're doing it, because batla daita itzo kol adam, right? This sort of almost, like...
Right, it's almost like a chesed kind of distinction, like, enough gavra's attitudes creates a quality of the chetza, and it doesn't matter that the individual gavra is irrelevant to it. I might be abusing that. I'm sorry, my brisker background's a little lacking.
Yeah, no, that's
the concept.
It's a good way to, you know, describe the sort of dichotomy where this guy practically, right? Do we need this guy practically to be mochel, or do we just need, or are we saying that there's something objective going on? Like they're objectively mechila. Yeah, not that.
So we're using all these like fancy conceptual terms, but if we say it just okay, the pachot mishdud is de banan, can't it just be all the thing is because most people are mochel, the rabbi has never bothered making the gezera for pachot mishdud that you have to return that.
Yeah, but onaz doraisa.
No, but they're not saying before that the Ramban said
the Ramban has this very strange lashon of like that the chiyuv tashmumim is chidshur chachamim. But yeah, it doesn't. So I'm not sure if that even for the Pashas and the Gemara is that it's all Daraisa, and even the Ramban, it sounds like he's talking about honestly. The way I would read that Ramban is that he's saying like the Pshuta Shel Mikra is just talking about the Isser, and then Chazal were darshing that there's also a Chiyuv Hashava, and that's how he deals with the fact that Pshuta Shel Mikra is talking about Karka, even though the Drasha, even the Tashlumin is Dafka about like Metatl.
You're still saying Chazal's drasha is still the right drasha. It's not anything.
Yeah, drasha is usually are the right. Not always, right? That's one of those hairy things.
Okay.
Yeah. I and that's only the Ramban. you know, it's not going to help us with our Tikkun HaNefesh. Yeah, so I think this, you know, this, the Rambam, like, or say our solution here for the Rambam could be like this, right? Even, right, the Rambam seems to be saying, even for a katan, pachas mishtas, there's mechila, right? And this idea is like, there's mechila, there's a like objective mechila. And what's cool is also the Rambam points out, right, he's a katan hayodea betiv maso matan, right? And therefore, dino kidin gadol. His maso matan is just like a gadol's. And part of that maso matan, part of doing business is a pachos mishtas is mechila. Who do we see that? So, stepping one step back, just let it percolate. Actually, who do we see who said that? There are two options here. One is that it's objective as part of the Mekach HaMemkar, right? We could say that a separate option, which is what Chaya was saying. You don't have to say what Chaya's idea. Well, this is a little bit different, but I think I also have the smile. Yeah, I also have the smile here. Good. Okay. So first is the Taz. The Taz says, nearly near Saiti. The whole Hecha de Efsha likrosu b'shem shtos maus. Azlina basrei. Mashen kin kishin lo shem shtos legamri. Azlina basrei mekach. The hakal hu koshi yish lo shem shtos. Me izit sad shi yeh. Azlina basrei. Right? Tehillah's question. Wait a second. It's $100. It's a lot more than $5, even if it's different proportions. Right? Okay. So Natan's point. So this is slightly different than Natan's formulation, but ultimately it ties into a similar idea. But it's this idea that you're right. The chiv tashlumin is doraisa, but the chachamim needed to give it a shear, right? We don't like perform like an ad hoc evaluation every single time. That is true in halacha in many areas. We try to create sort of standard evaluations. Right? So let's say a great example for that is kashrus. Right? We try to make rules of thumb that allow us to function consistently. So the rule of thumb that, right, or the rules that chachamim came up with, the parameters they came up with, is a certain percentage. And they were mashe midosehem that it depends on a shtas. Why? Because, right, they have to be koveya, some sort of consistent monetary fiscal policy. And, right, that's what they decided was like the reasonable amount. Okay? In which case, really it depends on actual practical mechila. But the chachamim created like a low plug where they created a sort of standard parameter. The sma, not quite like not is also in a similar camp, but instead of Natan svara, he goes with Chaya svara. Mikol makom mire, the ein halokeach yachalomer afshehu adayin muchzak bidmei amaknia, ani lo emchol bepachot mishtut shehone itiani. Ella but that is a good case. Let's say the guy who the buyer who's getting onad still has the money in his hand, so he still has to pay. And he doesn't want to pay the extra money. He says, it's only worth five. I don't want to pay you the extra dollar. And he still has it in his hands, right? So it's one thing to say that there's mechila after he already handed it over. But here he never handed it over yet, right? Ella batla daito eso ruba da alma. Exactly what Chaya was saying. So regilu l'machlo mutzim miyado litneyu l'mocher. Now batla daito is koladam, right? Normal people are mochel. And therefore, Mamela, you can't withhold it. Okay, so the Ravid says there's no mechila pachas mishtas, right? Because the katan can't be mochel. The Taz and the Sma say, yeah, there isn't mechila, but there is. Even when you don't have mechila, practically, fundamentally, you do. Either because lo plug asu chachamim says the Taz, or the Sma says batal daita itzal kalana. Okay. Now, what about the Rambam? The Rambam seems to be saying that practically the katan is derech limchol, even though he's a katan who can't be mochel. Right. So if you said against the Rambam, right, that you just no onah just is inapplicable to pachus mishtas, like the Rosh's second answer. So we have a great answer, right? It's very simple. There's no such thing as ona pachas mishdas, right? It's also the sefer chinuch. There's no such thing as ona pachas mishdas. Mimela, doing it to a katan means that there's no ona, right? But for the Rambam, who says that it's dependent on mechila, right? Derech hakol limchol, but yeah, but a katan can't be mochel. So what's he going to say? So if we go back to the Rambam, right, the Rambam here connected it to this idea that it's part and parcel of Masa Umata. Who says something like that? Rachel, I think, just said it.
Oh, yeah, the Rush.
Yes and no. The Rush was saying that it's part of the market price is a range. Who says that it's part of Masa Umata, it's part of doing business? It's part of like Yodea Bativ Maso Matan. Part of the prerequisite knowledge of doing business is that there's this you know, imprecision.
Rashi?
Yes. Right? Rashi. I think it's very similar to Rashi. He's saying there's this like object, it's not a subjective mechila, right? It's an objective mechila that that a katan who does masa umatan, right? Part of his being able to participate in masa umatan is the fact that his masa umatan, right, is a real business deal. And in business deals, right, dino kedin gadol that pachos mishlas is mechila because pachos mishlas derech hakol limchobo, and that's part and parcel of doing business. That's part of masa umatan. If this katan is enough of a bardas to do masa umatan, that's an inherent part of Maso Matan is Pachos Mishtas, is Bechila, right? Okay. Wait, one second. Where did I put the Rambam? Yeah, put it here. I have to throw them out here. I didn't put it in the chart. Oh, the Rambam should be, it's over here, like next to Rashi. Now, I'm not totally sure if I want the Rambam to be like exactly under Rashi or like next to Rashi on this side. Okay, last nafkamina. Let's say you have something whose value is known. Okay, so the Aruch HaShulchan points out, he says, according to the Rash, it's only by something whose value is not precise. Okay? Right? Okay? He says, what about something that's sold on the stock market or something that's under government price controls? Like in Israel, like milk and bread and eggs are all under government price controls, right? So if they're all under price controls, then if you think that there's no ona pachos mishdas because fundamentally that's like allowed profit, right? That's one thing. But if you think it's because EF Charlotte Samsim, right, that it's not precise, so this is precise. You know exactly how much a stock X is worth on a certain day, right? Because that's the price on the market, right? You just happen to have not, you know, Googled it right before you bought it from this sketchy salesman, right? In which case, says the Aruch HaShulchan, then let's say according to Rashi, is a good example where Rashi would tell you that it's aser, right? Rashi would says if the mechir is kavua and yadua, then there's no mechila on pachos mishdas because when you buy a stock, you assume, right? You know that you should be getting it at the price that is on the market because you could actually get that price instantly, right? You log into whatever account you trade from, and you hit trade, and within like a millisecond, it's been traded, right? there's no mechila there because there's an exact price. Okay. Now another thing is, let's say you're dealing with a case where it's the opposite. Really, it's not worth that much, but the market value, right, is higher. Okay. Ordinarily, davar echad in varav lekula. Right? On the other hand, if there's no set market price, even if, right, one guy sells it for twice as much as the other person, okay, nonetheless, if there's no set market price, I don't know, let's say washing machines, like there's huge range on the market for no reason, right? Okay. Then he says the opposite is also true, that if this market price is such that people, there's a wide variety on the market, so then there's just no ona within that range, even though it's a crazy range, even though the object isn't necessarily worth that much. If that's what it sells on the market here, or that's within the range on the market, that's fine. Right? So the more that you think it's just dependent on the fact, like, this is the market value, this is the market price, it just goes by the market. So then the moment that there's, like, government controls, a tiny bit off is already ona, right? But if there's no control and it's just a total arbitrary market that's all over the place, then there'll also just be no ona. Yeah. Okay.
Is there any we're using the word market value, but I guess when we first brought up ona, I thought it was the value, like the basis value that you're overcharging on, was something inherent to the object.
Like, I think that's part of our issue, right? And that's part of our question, which is, how much is there some sort of object value, right? And let's say a sixth is like the flexibility that you have as market value around that.
Okay.
Right? That's kind of what the way the rush was going, was there's like an object value, and then the market value is like plus or minus that, right? The Minchas Sefer HaChinuch was also doing that. Right, really, there's an object value, and then you're allowed to like plus or minus the six for in the market. The, let's say, Rashi, right, and the Rush are both operating with this idea that it's a din in the market. Right, it's really market value. Ona is all about market value, right, and any bit above or below is let's say above is usur or below is usur. Part of being in the market, though, is that there's a certain imprecision. The Rashi has that as like a lechatchila. The Rashi has it as a bitieved, right? But the Aruch HaShulchan brings out, like, okay, well, if the mechir is yadua, then even pachas mishas, there's no mechila, because you could measure it, like if there's price controls. And if the mechir, if there's no clear market value, right? So then also, it's just, okay, even if it's wildly off from its actual value. According to the Sefer HaChinuch, if there's no clear market value, but it's clearly more than the object value, then you shouldn't be allowed to do that. Okay. Shukar. So we'll continue on Wednesday.
Thank you.
Do you mind sharing the